Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Untamed Blossoms, the podcast where we celebrate the wild and beautiful journey of womanhood. We're here to create a space where women can connect, inspire, and uplift each other. Untamed Blossoms is more than just a podcast. It's a movement. It's a gathering of strong, fierce women who are breaking free from society's expectations.
Our mission is to deep dive into the stories of incredible women who have embraced their authenticity, even in the face of adversity. We believe by sharing these stories, we can inspire others to do the same. Join us as we sit down with women from all walks of life who have faced their own struggles and emerged as the most authentic versions of themselves. From entrepreneurs to artists, activists to adventurers, we'll explore their triumphs and tribulations. Together, we'll navigate the challenges of self-discovery, self-acceptance, and self-love.
But Untamed Blossoms is more than just conversations. We're a community that gathers for events, immerses ourselves in the beauty of nature, and supports one another in our personal and professional growth. So whether you're seeking inspiration, looking for a supportive sisterhood, or simply want to hear incredible stories of women blazing their own trails, Untamed Blossoms is here for you. Together, let's embrace our wildness, bloom unapologetically, and rewrite the rules. Welcome to Untamed Blossoms.
Welcome to Untamed Blossoms. We're grateful you're here. I'm your host, Amanda Riley.
And I'm Christy Riley. Welcome to the pod. Hi.
Hi. I am stuffy today.
Stuffy.
It's allergy season, though.
It's allergy season. Yeah. Trees are starting to turn here in Ohio.
And something about having all that rain after not, I feel like knocked some shit loose.
Amen.
Out here in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And I've been sneezing.
Me too.
Like crazy.
Me too. And Stan was like, are you sick? And I'm like, no, just sneezing. Oddly enough.
Just the.
Yeah. I'm blaming it on the farm though.
So, yeah. You know,
we're fully moved in now. So that's exciting. Yeah. And I'm spending a lot of time outside, which is great.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about the house? Just one thing.
The tree. The sycamore tree.
Minus the tree, because we didn't know about the tree.
Okay. Inside, I would have to say the kitchen.
Kitchen, yeah.
I really love the kitchen. Yeah, it's coming along and we're cooking in there now and it just feels real cozy and homey. I feel tucked in there, which is odd.
I like that you can see the whole dining area. Like it just like opens right into the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's really nice.
You can still the dining table still feel like you're part of whoever's cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that big. This place is really kind of small, and I love that about it.
It's so cozy.
It's very cozy. The front porch is, or the sunroom is no longer, like, full of boxes, so that feels good out there. My plants are loving it out there. So, yeah, it's starting to feel good and less chaotic, which is great. I don't do well with all the boxes and the stuff not being put away and not knowing where things are. And
Yeah. Totally.
I'm sure I'll get a disconnect notice at some point of electric bill I missed or
something.
Really chaos. I'm like, have I not paid bills in like, I don't know, 2 months? I'm like, do I make the mortgage payment? You know, like those things you wake up and you're like, oh, this chaos. And I don't do well in those moments. So I'm sure I've missed something.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about the barn is coming along. So we should be able to have our next event out there, which is exciting.
Can't wait. We have two events.
Yeah.
So we have our second in the series of our human design
yep.
in October. Yep. And we did finalize the plans and put on Eventbrite our dance party in November.
So free event.
Free event for the dance party.
Come
so pumped.
See us. Yeah, all of our lady friends. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have the Better Bev company there. So they're serving up some non-alcoholic beverages with a bunch of fun things in them. It should be a great time. I hope we get a ton of people. So
I do too.
I've already prepped my husband that he has to prep the grass down below the barn for parking. And
yep.
So it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
I'm shopping for the biggest, you don't know this, but the biggest disco ball ever is what I'm currently shopping for. I'm going to get excited.
It's all I've ever wanted was a massive disco ball.
I'm like, how big do they make them? Like, I found one at like, you know, I don't know, somewhere I was shopping and I was like, oh, that's a disco ball. But it wasn't big enough.
Maybe we could DM RuPaul and ask him where you got his.
Those giant ones? I know. I was like, I've searched all over the interweb. Huh. So I have found a pretty big one. It's a pretty large one. It's a 2 feet round. Like it's pretty big. Mm. It would look like that. In that space. So.
I got my Halloween costume.
You did?
Yeah, it's all together. It's basic. I'm being Parasol.
There's really not much going on there.
DJ Parasol. But I got my gold sparkly dress because I thought to myself, I can then wear this again.
Yes.
For our party.
Yes. Of course you can.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
That I have.
Yeah.
So
I've been going to the physical therapist for my back 3 days a week, as you know. Mm-hmm. And there are these two ladies in there that are older, probably quite a bit older than me. And they're hysterical. And they dance all the time.
I love that.
Invite them to our dance.
You
party.
Must.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bring all your sparkles and come and dance with us and have fun and just, you know, it's 3 hours. It's over by 9. That way we can all be in bed because, you know, we're old people now. And it's going to be a great time, I think.
I will tell you, there's nothing I enjoy more than physical activity and then going to my bed and having my heating pad and this massive body pillow that I prop my knees up with. Like, I mean, I am full throttle elderly by the time I get in bed at night. And I don't care. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, me either.
I slept like probably 3 hours last night and I am so excited for bed tonight. I cannot wait to sleep.
Why not sleeping? Mind's racing.
Yeah.
It's really my culprit.
I know. I think I mentioned on the pod before that I, in my human design, my head is empty. And the side that holds like stress and anxieties is empty. So I usually don't. And this is why I have like the whole music playing in my head scenario. It's because I don't really ruminate. I don't really think like up situations to worry about.
Right.
So when things are worrisome or I am stressed about something, it's just like very present.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to that being the case. So I'm like, okay, think really hard about nothing.
Count sheep. That's where that came from, right? I sometimes have to count.
I put on ocean sounds because I knew sounds, if anything, would help. And I always have a fan going in the bedroom. But yeah, I could not.
Do it.
Yeah. And then it was like 3 a.m. I'm like, my alarm's going off so soon.
Yeah.
But I still went to the gym this morning. It was a glute day. You know, you can't miss it.
You love glute day.
I actually hate glute day, but it's a necessary evil of my current situation. Speaking of vulnerability.
Just so you know, physical therapy is all glutes all the time.
I love that for you.
Glutes, 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 and abs. That's really all we do. Is
love that.
Abs, so
core work.
So you guys, I have today for our podcast, we wanted to do a solo cast and we weren't sure what the topic was going to be. And I have this book and it's called 3,000 Questions About Me. And before we started recording, we were talking about vulnerability and this is literally 3,000 random questions. It's meant to stimulate conversation either with your spouse, your kids. Like we use it with the teenagers sometimes because they don't like to talk about anything. So this is kind of a cool way for everybody to answer a question and kind of get to know, really get to deeply know somebody else. Questions that you may not really ever ask or think to ask. And sometimes it's a question that then leads to other conversation that you didn't realize you go down. So we've talked about it before and that I love this game in the car.
Mm-hmm.
For car rides. So I thought we would do it today and see what it brings up.
Before we get into the questions, how would you say your relationship is with vulnerability? And does it change depending on who you're with?
It used to. I would say that. I think that I would have defined myself as very not vulnerable in my earlier years. Definitely trying to assess everyone and mm-hmm. figuring out who's safe and who's not. I would say that I'm 80% more vulnerable than I used to be. Now I think that I'm more vulnerable, definitely with people I'm comfortable with. I'm fairly open. I think most people are like, wow, you're really open. but I still find myself reserved in situations where I feel like I could be judged. Mm. So I may not be as authentic, or not necessarily away from my authenticity, just not fully divulgent of my beliefs or the way I think about something. I may just choose to remain silent.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's not being vulnerable or if it's just being protective.
Well, I also think there's a time and place, I think, assessing yeah. and saying, like, does this make sense to right. the relationship, to yeah. the situation?
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a time and place to say, like, this requires vulnerability from me.
Yeah.
And if I choose to avoid that, what is that saying versus saying, this right. maybe isn't the time or place or person.
Yeah. So yeah. I've come to realize that if I'm upset, like if I'm resentful, angry, sad, I'm telling the same story to defend whatever I'm angry, upset, or sad about in my mind. If I find that's going on, that's my invitation to be vulnerable about whatever that is. And sometimes yeah. I don't know until I'm in the middle of sharing whatever that is.
Yeah.
And I hear it reflected back to me, or my partner says something to me that I realize that it's not about any of that.
Mm.
And I think that's the magic of vulnerability, is that if you're willing to open up about the emotion, if your partner can meet you in that, you end up discovering that it's probably not about what you thought it was about,
mm-hmm.
but it was about something a little more deep-seated.
Yeah.
And that resolution can come through that conversation if you're both in a good space.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Yeah. So being in relationship is one of your biggest teachers, I found.
Yeah.
Right? We've talked about this before. It makes you really see your shit in a blinding way, and you have to look at it in all directions, right?
Like, yeah.
What's real, what's not, how does my partner perceive me? How do I perceive how my partner perceives me? You know, all of the things. Mm-hmm. And if you see something that you hate in your partner, it may be something that you hate in yourself, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm trying to practice. And with everybody,
mm-hmm.
something that's really annoying to you. Oh, am I that way? You know?
Yeah. Oh, mirror.
It's a mirror that I need to look at something inside of me that I don't like about that. Why are they triggering me so much? And I think that's a vulnerable practice with yourself. I think that's the epitome of vulnerability, is really being yeah. able to self-analyze in those moments and not just deflect and, oh, that person's horrible, you know, and gossip about them and all, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you can just silently go,
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Or I don't like that person. Or I didn't like their behavior. Or,
right.
You know, or I'm really angry. I'm really upset at them. Why?
Yeah.
Why are you so upset? You know, what is it about yourself that you're seeing that you don't like?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would say vulnerability for me is a lot about self-protection. Like, I don't really, when I think of vulnerability, I know, you know, you mentioned partners. I think of it so much more as like with myself. And I would not have known that to be true until sobriety happened and I realized how much I was running away from myself. Because growing up around a lot of people who were alcoholics and, you know, people living with us off and on throughout my childhood, I just didn't want to be vulnerable because I didn't want to upset anybody. Or if someone was living with us, like an uncle or someone, and, you know, maybe they weren't being great.
Right.
I felt like if I said something, then I would be stirring the pot in this situation that maybe felt unsafe. Not that anyone ever did anything unsafe, but subjective. But to me. Yeah. And so I just found, like, you have to lock it up, sister.
You know, I remember one time I hurt my ankle in middle school. And I said to my uncle that was living with us at the time, like, I think something's wrong. And they were like, do not tell your parents unless you really know something's wrong. Because like, that's an expensive trip. Like, think about that. And I was like, all right, noted. And I walked around for another week before I was like, hey, something's wrong. I fractured my growth plate in my ankle. Luckily, I was done growing and one of my legs didn't end up shorter than the other. I'm already really short for that to happen. But, you know, I think back at that time and how often I was told just like to suck it up in moments, right? Or this is what we have to do. We were in service of people a lot of the time. And vulnerability to me was just like really dicey and could open you up to a situation where you didn't either feel safe or cared for. And I found myself later in life not really wanting to tell anyone how I felt about anything. So I just played the tape forward, which is a sobriety thing to do also. It's like, oh, you want to have a drink? Play the tape forward, right? So what? The next day you're going to be violently hungover? Was anything up until that point worth it? No. Play the tape forward. So sometimes when I think about vulnerability, unfortunately, I still do think about that same thing. Okay, so I tell you how I feel. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. The answer is nothing. It's still my problem. So when I play that tape forward for myself, it kind of has a negative effect because I think, well, here I am again, alone at the end, trying to figure it out. So it's something I'm working on, something I know I need to stop being like a caged animal with, but I just think if I tell this person how I really feel, how could they use this against me later? If I say I really need help right now, right? And they help me or whatever that is. And later, are they going to use that against me?
Yeah.
So I'm just very, very cognizant of things I share with people. And I go down the path of how could they use this against me, which I know is not a love and light place to be in. So.
No, but it's real. And I appreciate your vulnerability and just sharing that. Just sharing that is hugely vulnerable. And, you know, that's a start, right? Like just saying that out loud to say, this is my truth. And I don't feel safe enough to be vulnerable with most people because this is the way I feel.
Yeah.
Based on whether that's childhood stuff, continued experiences through work, life, corporate work.
Oh, health, God. Right? Like corporate life was
the worst.
The worst, because if you were vulnerable with anyone, boy, did that come up later in an interview when you were trying to get a promotion. Like people would use anything they could that you've said against you, especially in terms of career progression. So if it wasn't bad before, it got way worse in that environment, especially working at such a big company that I did for so long. You just could never be careful enough. Yeah. So.
Well, I appreciate you being vulnerable today.
Thanks. Let's
you ready for
ask some questions? Okay. Yeah. So
I'm going to randomly just pick one out. These sometimes are playful, sometimes they're serious, and that's kind of the fun of all this. So
yeah,
we're going to practice being vulnerable today, y'all.
And we'll both take turns answering each question.
Okay. And you can pick some too. I'll pick some. You pick some.
Okay.
How are you quirky?
Oh gosh, I'm the quirkiest. I was literally telling someone the other day, I love moss. I love the way moss grows.
Yes.
It's very akin to mushrooms to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I could spend an entire week, month, year, who knows, just watching and learning about like moss and mushrooms. Like I love these things are so important to our ecosystem, but no, they're like the unsung heroes. You know what I mean? Like everyone knows trees are important. Get it. But these mushrooms are out here with this whole mycelium network, just talking and feeding and connecting with each other. And this moss is just growing. It just is so incredible to me.
Yes.
And so I would say one of my most quirky things, and it also moves into like music and how I feel about like
the way music can come together. Like, I just love these things that just are so interesting, but really...
The unseen connectors.
Yes.
I think you're fascinated with very unseen connectors.
Yes. Like going to a concert and everyone knowing the words to a song makes me sob. Like I am uncontrollably moved.
Yeah.
Even if I barely know the song, but everyone around me is singing, I think that like joint connection and joy and unity.
Yeah.
And you don't even know these people, but you have this like connection. Yeah. It's just like that connectivity thing. It's just so... Like, we're all connected. I just love that feeling. So.
Yeah. I love that about you.
It's quirky. What about you? What's your quirky thing?
I got quirky in all things. My biggest quirkiness. I think it's just my weird obsession with knowledge.
Mm. Yeah.
I love learning about new things.
Yeah.
And I try it on like it belongs to me.
Yeah.
And I twirl around in it like I'm in front of a mirror. it's the same whether it's a concept, a theory, a medical journal, I will throw myself into a fictional book, like it's just all of it.
Yeah.
But I try it on like I'm wearing a new fur coat.
I love that.
And I try it out. I'll talk about it like it's fact. And that's my process. And it's part of my human design.
Yeah.
And but to the lay person, like that just meets me, I think I can seem very like, wow, she's all over the place.
Yeah.
Just last month she was into a blah, 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 whatever it was. And this month she's into this. And it's part of my human design, I've come to find out, which is also part of what made me feel really seen by Sarah. But... I like to learn about the things, try it on, I keep what fits, and I throw the rest of the way.
I love that.
And I move on. And
what a great thing to be quirky about.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest quirk is that I think, and I used to be real shameful about that, of being interested in different things. And, you know, I no longer buy all the gadgets and stuff, you know, like I've learned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since I've learned that this is what I do.
Right.
You know. I was the perfect target for one of those marketing schemes.
Yeah, the MLM.
Level ups. Yeah. Oh boy, man. They saw me coming a mile away.
Same.
You know, because I would try it on. I'd spin around. I'd get excited and I'd be like, yes. And I wouldn't see any of the downside of it in the moment that I'm spinning in the mirror. And then later I'm like, wait.
What?
Hang on. What am I doing? What is this? Why am I wearing this? But that's what I do with all things.
Yeah.
And then I come out of it. But man, they love to see me coming, and I'll, you know, I can't tell you how many things I've sold, Melaleuca and all kinds of things that I've been involved in, Pampered Chef.
Yeah.
All the things, you know, the doTERRA oils.
I would be interested to see how many manifesting generators make up MLMs because.
Yes, you're totally right.
I've been in at least 7.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Before I was like, okay, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing any more of this. But it's just an interesting concept.
There's no getting out of it. You know, I finally realized that there's no getting out of the rat race of it.
No.
Right? It's a constant push.
And yeah. I was
like, this is exhausting
for me. Yeah.
And even though I believe in your products, this is not sustainable for me.
So yeah.
All
of it.
Okay. Another one. What's the heaviest thing you can lift? I love this.
Oh, I have a very specific answer of how much I can lift. Deadlift. I can leg press a lot.
I would say the dining room table that we just moved into my house.
Or the refrigerator. Love
the refrigerator.
I lift it up on a dolly on my back.
Yes.
I can lift a lot.
You can lift
a lot. I can lift really heavy shit.
We are strong bitches is all I have to say. We are very strong.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I can do like almost 400 pounds, like 360, 80 on leg press.
Yeah. Yeah. You and Shane both are like freakishly strong on leg press.
Leg press is my jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Okay.
Amanda's going through the book.
Do you think a person can always depend on the kindness of strangers?
Oh, I would like to believe so. unfortunately, I feel like we're a very distracted community currently. I think if people saw you in distress, they would absolutely help you.
Yeah.
I think people are so distracted.
Yeah.
That they don't see people, you know, or they're, listen, everybody has an opinion about the people that stand at this corner of the streets and they use the same signs over and over again. And it's different people with the same sign. And clearly the sign is just left there for pandering. And some look really homeless and drug addicted, and some look really fine.
I give them money right. every time, regardless of whatever.
Give them money. If I have it, it's meant for them to have.
Exactly.
And my husband does not share in that philosophy. He's like, you're helping them with their addiction. I'm like, nope. I could be helping them save their life. If
yeah.
they get fixed. So I don't.
And sometimes that is.
Saving their life.
Yeah. Whether it be alcohol or drugs, because yep. it could be withdrawal situation. Like it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
They're
if I have extra cash, they need it.
Yep.
I meant to give it away. But people are, because of that, and they've shown people go get into really nice cars and whatever, you know, like that's not my karma, right? It's not my karma. But people are, I think, now kind of.
Everyone's an investigator.
They've gotten used to, like, yeah, or they're leery of everyone.
Yeah.
And so they're like, I can't give those people, they might be getting in a really nice car.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
What if you just saved their lives? What difference does it make? Did you need that $1.50 that was sitting in your change thing? Just give it to them. You know,
it's like, not your scale to worry about being tipped.
Correct. I feel like if people see you in need, I do think that generally people will come to your aid. But I do think that people are very preoccupied currently.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people I watch walk down the street with their face in their phone.
Yeah.
They're not looking up. They're not making eye contact. Like they're literally watching, like scrolling on TikTok and watching videos as they walk.
Yeah.
So you may not see what's happening around you, you know, but I do feel like if people do see you, they would help you.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, the reason I like this question is because there's two very distinct experiences that I've seen through other people's shared experiences that I feel like exactly says what you're saying. One, I don't know if you know this about me. I think you do. One of my dreams is to hike on the Appalachian Trail for a long fucking time.
Right.
I'm not talking even a week. I'm talking like I want to be out there wild style.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I am on a trillion and one trail pages.
Right.
And the community of hikers and how they take care of each other. And the community that they're walking through and how they take care of hikers that they know nothing about,
right.
What they do for them, events they put on for them, food they bring, water, pick up and hitchhikers that are obviously trail hikers.
Right.
What they do in that community is what I wish the whole world was like, because there is no lack of support, because they all just truly deeply care about each other and are as kind as possible
right.
in that community.
Right.
Then you will watch another video of people walking through a busy city and a woman getting mugged and people like wanting to look away. They don't want to get involved. What do they have a gun? What do they have a knife?
Right.
Like, I don't want to get involved. Those that kill me too. Right.
Right.
I think we're living in a very dual society and situations where both things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And I believe if those same people that turned an eye walking down New York City were out on a trail, they would intervene.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bigger, weirder question around your surroundings and what your neuro system is going through when you're constantly inundated with information, you're constantly on your phone, you're constantly living in this digital fake world. It's easy to pick and choose what you think is right or wrong, but when it's just you
and
nature and you see another human having a shared experience, it's a shared experience thing, right? You want to help them. So that is my thought.
Love that. Oh, are you psychic in any way?
You go first.
Well, I've been told by psychics that I am.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm tapped into that.
Yeah.
I do feel like I trust my gut a lot, and my gut is usually spot on. So whether I can tout that as being psychic, but I don't feel like I'm open enough yet to that world to feel like that's true for me.
Yeah.
But I am learning to trust my gut, and maybe who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what that leads to?
I love that.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know if psychic's the right word per se, but I feel like I'm really tapped into energy. I read tarot cards for a really long time, and hung out with my grandma. We played with our Ouija board. I watched Sylvia Brown and all of that when I was growing up. And I do feel like I've always had a strong kinship with the spiritual world in general. And I feel like I can easily feel those things.
Yes.
But I'm probably a little too afraid now. I remember being little, being like, there was like something sitting at the end of my bed, and my parents being like, never say that again.
You're not allowed to feel any of that.
Nope.
Nor are you allowed to say any of those things.
Ever. I'm sure I scared the hell out of them all the time. I was like, there's something walking around in the hallway. And they're like, no, again, please stop. So it's interesting.
I do feel like I'm aware of entities if they're around.
Yeah.
And that sounds really creepy, but the same thing where you catch something out of the corner of your eye in the hallway in the old house that we lived in Granville. There was definitely a little girl that died in that house, and she was still there, and I would catch her in my periphery. And the girl, and without saying a word, my girls said the same thing. They have bedrooms up there, and they're like, I swear there's a little girl sometime, So, but it was never scary or anything like weird. It was just there, and you would get glimpses of her and her energy, but it was never frightening or bad. The current house, I'm sure many people have died in that house that we live in. It was built in the 1800s. Like Stan and his daughter Haley just went on they toured Pitt, and the cathedral there that's now turned into a learning building was built 100 years after our house was built. So our house was actually really old when that was built in the 1900s. And now, now that's well over 100 years old, so it's an interesting marker to think about how much lineage and history is in the house that we live in currently. And Stan and I are so energetically drawn to it.
Yeah.
That it's crazy. And so I don't know why we're supposed to be there, but the energy for sure, I don't know what it is about that place. It's great, but it's not like, oh my God, amazing, right? There's nothing amazing about this house.
But it's the energy is the amazing
energy. Part. And that's what everybody says that comes is like, wow, just great. This house is amazing. But if I just put a picture of it up against any other beautiful home somewhere, you would be like, oh, okay. Right? Yeah. Like it's not like it's this stunningly beautiful mansion or even one of these really elegantly done, big farmhouses. They do these new modern farmhouses that are so popular. No, it's just a run-of-the-mill farmhouse that's been added on to multiple times, built 1800s. Yeah. And although it's beautiful, it's not anything that you'll be like, whoa, I can't wait. I'd love to go see that house again.
Yeah.
It literally is an energetic exchange.
Totally.
Completely. And I don't know what we're supposed to be there for, but we're definitely supposed to be there. So
I love
that's
it.
All I know.
Yeah.
And we feel really great there. And
yeah.
So many things are happening currently in our world that are changing.
Yeah.
And I feel like in everybody's world around me right now, I know that astrologically that's supposed to be happening right now in a huge way. And it is like, I am watching it play out. Like I listen to the astrologers I listen to, and then I'm watching it in real life.
Yeah.
For myself, for you, for my husband, like everybody that I know is going through major change currently.
Yeah.
And I it's so amazing to witness. Like, I don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
We're part of some sort of major shift.
That's
real exciting.
Yeah, so. Totally.
Okay. Next one. What's your favorite trivia game?
Okay. I love games because I like to win.
Yes.
So my favorite trivia game is a game I've played before, if I'm being honest, because I have a higher chance of winning.
Right.
I have a really fun music trivia game. I think we play
that. Hipster, right?
Hipster.
Yeah. I love that game.
I love it because it's
music, and you're basically making a timeline of music of your own in front of you with the cards, and you hear a bit of a song, and your goal is to place the card in the timeline that you're creating each time you pull a new card. So it's more complicated than that a little bit, but that's the gist of it. But it's so much fun, because even if you've never heard the song, stylistically you can make a pretty good guess of like, okay,
yeah,
there's a lot of synth in this. Was this '80s? Yeah. You know, like,
it goes back to like the 20s, right? So like we definitely, us older folk are definitely more privileged in this game than the teenagers.
Are they though? Because, you know, there's a lot of now current music, and that's a pretty current game. So it goes all the way up to like 2 years ago.
Well, that's true. That's true. They're more privileged on that end, I guess, than we. So that's true.
It's a good balance. That's why I like it, though. It's a good balance for no matter what age you're playing with, too.
I would have to say my answer is the same. Hipster would be my best trivia question, mostly because I am the worst at pop culture. I mean, the worst.
Yeah.
I know all of the new songs.
Yeah.
I can sing them. I could not tell you one artist's name.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the weird dissociation I have. Like, yeah. Like, in my genre, obviously in the 80s and 90s when I was young, I know those, most of them, they're the song, the name of who sung it, the whole thing, the album name even. But now, I will say that I know all those songs and I can sing most of the lyrics. I don't always retain who that is. It takes me a while for that to really like sink into my skin and be like, that's, you're way better at that, where you'll immediately know the artist and recognize their voice. And I don't associate that way. I have a weird association and I don't know what that is. But I don't always connect those dots immediately. And so I'm in a horrible... And I don't love politics and I don't love most pop anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the new hot actresses and actors and who's dating, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have no idea, nor any inclination.
Trivial Pursuit is not your jam.
Not my jam.
Yeah.
Not my jam.
Yeah.
No. So... Yeah, Hipster would be probably mine too, because that was really fun.
So fun.
And I love music and I love dancing. And literally you find yourself dancing through that whole game.
Totally.
Like
you're
moving, jamming, everybody starts singing the lyrics. Like, it is a fun group game if you don't have to get it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What do you love about the internet?
I love a lot about the internet, honestly.
Yeah.
I love the connectivity it brings. I love the joy it brings. I love the education it can bring. Everything is villainized before it gets acceptable. You know what I mean? And there's always good and bad. Nothing is one or the other.
Right.
Nothing is black or white. So there's always gray in everything. But it's the world we live in, and you know,
not going anywhere.
Yeah, like I was just talking about hiking, and there's this woman who's from Ohio, but she went somewhere hiking, and she is disappeared. Like no one can find her. And it's just crazy how fast that information and her picture has gotten everywhere in hopes to find her. And there's documentaries about how the internet has solved like cold cases. Like if you, like someone posted a music video and it was political, someone saying something and using all these like riot videos, and then people zoomed in and like, that's in Russia. You know, like it's just funny because like it's so vast and you can do so much good or bad with it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think I love the internet for educational purposes. I do think it is connecting us in a way and educating people in a way that was never accessible before. I do agree with that. I do think that it does get overwhelming as far as the input we give ourselves every single day.
Yeah.
And that's the balance that I'm trying to achieve, right? Is how much input, which is usually why I don't participate in news or, you know, too much pop stuff, because I literally am trying to decrease the input that I'm getting from it all the time. We're not built to know about every tragedy in every part of the world at every moment of the day. It's overwhelming.
But what you love about it, though, is that if you decide that that's something important to you or that you want to know about something,
right?
Like it's really hard to hide now. I think that's the thing, is like you can't hide tragedies. You can't hide things that are happening to humans. Yeah. And so definitely it's overwhelming, all of that, 100%. But it's just, it's nice to know that
it makes it harder for people
to ignore it.
To ignore it. Yeah. You know, at the same time,
I agree.
Delicate balance, as you said. I agree.
It's hard. I think that's been the balance, is trying to figure out how to stay positive, because I think that the news is so negatively focused, you know, and I've been purposely on Instagram following people that give the good news.
Yeah.
I love those people.
Yeah.
Right. Because I do believe it's like, oh, another mudslide, another hurricane, another, you know, tragedy, 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 because people read those. Yeah. They're getches, right? Like, you'll click on that. Like, oh, I want to know more about that. They're not talking about all these great inventions that are cleaning up the oceans and the, you know, like, that's not what gets clickbait very much. Yeah. Right. And so, I love the people that are giving us the other perspective, because as highly sensitive people, which I think we are, it's easy to feel like this place is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, the whole planet, we're fucked. Yeah. We're going in the wrong direction. Right. Because you hear all these negative things, and we're still trafficking women.
Yeah.
All of these things become inundated in some ways, and on these, and it makes me feel very overwhelmed at times, which is why I've had to limit it. And also, I want to hear, I love those books that, and I read those occasionally, that'll tell you, like, it's easy to believe that we're going down in a shithole, but really, our longevity is higher. Our, you know, all of these, like, statistically, we're still improving as a species and a group. And, I like to listen to those people and to get some positivity mixed in with what we already know is tragedy and devastation that the news likes to bring on a regular basis. But, and you don't get papers anymore, right? Like, everything's just on the interweb. So there's really not any physical papers anymore.
Though. Yeah.
And maybe there are, I don't know of them. They're all digital. And, so I love it for the informatics, but I would say that we're all starting to learn how to temper that for your own personal needs. And I think some people live on that negativity and, you know, and all the things that are happening, and it definitely can inspire people to into action. And some of that's great, for sure. On the flip side of that, I have to be really selective about what I take in, because I can't take it too much. You know, I know I'm very aware of it all happening.
Yeah.
But my day to day, it's overwhelming for me if I know about it all.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Two more.
What do you consider unforgivable?
Nothing.
Murder?
No, when you don't forgive someone, who's that punishing? This is what I've learned for myself. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and this is going to be a vulnerable moment, but my stepfather abused me when I was young, right? So, sexually, how can I carry around hate for him? Who does that hurt? Does it hurt him? Or does it hurt me? He died several years ago. It's like 15 or 20. But if I don't forgive that, it doesn't mean I want to be friends or hang out or... But if I don't extend forgiveness and let that go, my dad abandoned me at 5 years old, right? Like, forgiving that, because that action, if I hold on to hate, then it only buries me.
Mm-hmm.
It only affects me.
Yeah.
So although I can say I forgive you, it doesn't mean that I'm forgetting it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't let the person off the hook. It lets me off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I can let that energy go, because otherwise you have to hold on to hate, resentment. That's fatiguing. It's like carrying a big bucket that you can't put down, right?
Yeah.
And so I put it down.
Yeah.
And so although, you know, I say that now, if somebody murdered my child or killed my child or did something to them like that, that would be a test, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but... I've watched that in action in court cases where you see that, where the families forgive them and, you know, that's them putting that bucket down.
Yeah.
Not being hateful and resentful. And so not forgiving somebody is really just punishing yourself, because that person really doesn't care whether they get your forgiveness or not. 99% of the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, that action was done for whatever reason, whatever it was. And so that person doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Most likely that they get any sort of condolence or pass from you.
Yeah.
So you carrying it around is just carrying your own torture, really.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I was going to say not liking Taylor Swift, but then you went really deep. So sorry. Now it's not funny. But I did try to end a friendship when they told me that they didn't like Taylor Swift. So I was like, well, you're two-faced. Anyway, yeah, that's obviously a great point. It doesn't really bother the person. I don't hold grudges.
Yeah.
At all. Because I just won't ever talk to you again. Like, I don't hold that space. So for me, like, forgiving is just like, yeah, that's great. You're forgiven. I also just can't, though, anymore with this. Yeah. So I gotta go. So your answer is way more put together and lovely than me just being like, well, see you never. Because that's kind of how I feel.
I do the same thing, though. When I'm done with you, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
I'll never speak again.
Yeah. I will give literally my blood, sweat, and tears to you. I will do everything I can, but man, when I am done, there's just no returning.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I think that's with women in general. Most
I agree.
Yeah. All right, last one.
This one has to be a great one.
It's gotta be a goodie.
Do you think people, including yourself, live up to their fullest potential?
Usually no.
Why? I added that. Why do you think people don't live up to their fullest potential?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear of being judged, fear of failure, fear.
Yeah.
Fear of a myriad of things. Yeah.
I feel like people don't live up to their potential because we are so thrown into other people's expectations of us from such an early age. And generational trauma teaches everyone to then teach their kids to do the things they never got the opportunity to. So when you're constantly worried about yourself not having lived up to your full potential, I think it's common practice to then project that onto the next generation. And I think until we spend time healing ourselves, healing our inner child, healing our own generational trauma, no one can live up to their full potential. Because they're constantly living in a state for someone else's expectations and constantly living for someone else, not themselves.
Yeah. I think there are some who've broken through that plateau.
For sure.
I'd say some. I think you and I are on a similar plane of, you know, trauma and healing. And so that's where we're coming from, right? Is that we have, this is our thing to overcome seriously right. In this world, right? Is that, you know. Is our what we were programmed and then I feel like that was indoctrinated even more in school, not just about your family's expectations, but then your expectations in the classroom in comparison to other kids. And if you did well, it meant great things for you and you got all these, right? You were celebrated not only by your family, but your teachers and your school. And like you get this warped sense of this, I don't know, it'd be an interesting conversation about schools, you know, about how can we help kids keep their own compass intact longer.
Yeah.
And I think that familial involvement can be one thing and it can be innocuous. And I'm reading a book. I hope that we can get her on the podcast. We'll get to high school together. Her name's Sarah Gormley and her, it's called The Order of Things is her new book and I'm reading it. She's a great writer. And it's an innocuous thing sometimes. She tells the story of listening to her sister and her dad interact when she was like 5 in the kitchen and she just couldn't get math and she struggled with, you know, and it was pretty much a defining moment for her as she like just give him the right answer, be the good girl, get the good grades, right?
Yeah.
And then dad won't be mad at us, right?
Right.
Dad won't be frustrated And I'm sure that her dad had no idea of that impact of that scenario on that child, right? That had no involvement in that.
Right.
Which led to a whole host of being perfect and an eating disorder, right? Like you just go down this road, right? And you don't know what's going to be the thing as a parent that hits your kid that way.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't be perfect and we all have our own experiences and you know, but how can we keep kids more intact with their own compass longer until they are getting out in the world and have such a sense of self that the interactions with others doesn't cause them to completely rearrange themselves into a new human to fit in.
And even deeper and scarier and more depressing is this society was built to make sure certain people got more advantages than others, right? Like, you can't live up to your full potential when you don't have half the resources other people have. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, some families can only do what they can do with what they have. Right. And that's not much at all. And, you know, it takes everyone really caring about the collective and other human beings to say, what can I do to help make sure people have resources and support and that love and care? Because what did Dr. Mary say, right? She was like, once you have one person, a trusted person that you can go to that helps you through these things, like, you'll be okay. You'll get through anything. You'll get through too much internet. You'll get through all of that. If you have one trusted adult there. And I feel like if we all took that as part of our responsibility to be a trusted adult for kids, and how can we help make sure they have that one person that will support them, then that might change the world.
Yeah. I thought it was the most interesting part of that is we were on welfare when I was in school. So we were super poor. And Sarah came from an affluent family.
Yeah.
And from my standpoint, she had everything, right?
Yeah.
Her dad was a judge in town. You know, they lived on a big farm. She always has nice clothes. She was beautiful. Like, I just found her to be super quirky. She was the valedictorian of her class. She was a way overachiever, and she talks about all that. Mm-hmm. She had to be perfect. She had to be the best always, at all times, all the things. And her eating disorder became another thing that she had to be the best at, controlled, and all the things. And so it's just an interesting read from my own perspective of her to hear that, you know, and it's a lovely message in that you just don't know what people are going through. And I thought she had everything. She had money. She didn't care about, she had a really quirky style, which I love. She didn't try to fit into what everybody else was wearing. Like, she just, but that's not her experience at all.
Yeah.
You know, that she did not have all of that security and had a bunch of self-loathing. And I totally appreciate her vulnerability in this book so much that it's a good reminder of, like, wow, 16-year-old Christy thought that Sarah was the shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, she had it all going on and nothing could ever go wrong in her world. And, you know, she had a great life with all the popular kids and, with money and family that loved her. Parents were together. You know, I had multiple step parents, you know, like, there's a lot of differences there that I would compare myself and be like, wow, she must have the best life ever.
Yeah.
You know, and she had her own struggles and we all do, no matter what our circumstances are. And so, you know, we're way more alike, as you and I keep finding out with all of our episodes and everybody we talk to, is that we all have really similar stories to tell. And, being vulnerable, they all come and be vulnerable with us for a little while, which is great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being vulnerable today.
I appreciate you being vulnerable today. And
hopefully this is an invitation for all of y'all to go and practice this with your kids and with your spouse and your friends. Yeah. It's a cool thing. I learned some things about Amanda today.
Yeah. I learned some things about you.
Yeah.
And the book is called 3,000 Questions About Me. I think this would be a great book to definitely take on a road trip for sure, because
it sits on our dining room table in case the kids don't really want, you know, teenagers don't really want questions about how was your day? Do you have homework tonight? And sometimes this gives a quirky little question that we start, and then it starts a conversation that ends up being really great. So,
I would just say, you know, speaking of Taylor Swift, one thing is interesting. She's a projector and a lot of people don't like her because they're like, she talks too much about her experience and her music. The reason why people love Taylor Swift is because she's so damn vulnerable. When you're listening to some of her music, you viscerally feel those feelings. And I would say being vulnerable with people around you, although it's still something that's very hard for me, something I'm working with, it just really gives someone else an invitation to feel seen and heard. So even if it's hard for you to do it for you, just remember, like, be someone's Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Say the hard things so they have an invitation to also say those things.
Yep. So it'll bring you closer.
Yeah, totally. All right, until next time, remember to give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook at Untamed Blossoms. We have our events coming up, so you can also find us on Eventbrite and follow us there as well. And then we are fully loaded on Apple Podcasts.
Yay.
So you can follow us. Please follow us on Apple. I was behind on that process. So we will love some more engagement on Apple Podcasts. And then also, of course, you can find us on Spotify.